We've had a whole day, and we also talked a lot about the possibilities for training, the possibilities for services for blind young people, for blind old people, fell short, bald. We even talked about the World League. I love that. And too quickly, I'm a part. Having said, for the next minutes, on the stream, a lady, the director of Oak Rehab for Blind Individual Services of Maryland. Maryland, if you're listening, BISM's up here. Amy Phelps from BISM.
No Baltimore songs, unfortunately. Vocationist. My name is Amy Phelps. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself so you can come to understand why I am here. I'm one of those rehab professionals that some of you may have heard the speech about the recovering rehabilitation professional. That is who I am. In 2003, I attended a convention in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where I saw blind people that were out there doing absolutely anything and everything they wanted to do. It was not anything I had ever seen. I had been a rehab counselor. I ran a training center. It wasn't anything I had really witnessed in the state that I was in. And when I went to this conference, I just sat back and I thought, what is going on? I just hadn't seen it before. And then I found this one common thread, and it was the National Federation of the Blind. And it was at that point that I decided, I've got to see what this is, what really makes this work for blind people. Because in our state, blind people went for training time after time after time. And this was usually at the same training program. It wasn't that they would go to one and then another. They would say, it was like a revolving door. And I, you know, as a professional, I didn't really know what that meant, but I knew it wasn't right. So I ended up quitting my job and going to the Louisiana Center for the Blind and the master's program at Louisiana Tech University to be a cane travel instructor. Yeah. So as a sighted professional, what do you think that meant to be a cane travel instructor?
Learn to be a blind guy.
That's right. You have to be able to talk the talk and walk the walk. And I did. I was talking to somebody yesterday and something was said about, you know, well, do your staff wear sleep shades, you know, are they blind? And I said, absolutely. I said, we're able to do what we're asking our students to do. And they said, well, oh, it's good for them to get the experience. Let me assure you, the training we get is not experiential. It is thousands of hours under sleep shade. It is all during training with students. Our staff puts on sleep shades and they go and do what they're asking their students to do. That means when we do activities, staff and students, blind and sighted, wear sleep shades. That includes myself. When we go and do confidence building activities, we all wear sleep shades. All of us believe in the possibilities and the power of blind people. And where do you think we got this? Who came up with this idea? It was the National Federation of the Blind. It was blind people who said, this is what works for blind people. It's not sighted professionals who say, well, this is what we think works. It is the blind who speak for themselves, who advocate for themselves, who said to us, this is what works. If you want to do it right, this is how you have to do it. In our training program at Blind Industries and Services of Maryland, all of our instructors, either blind or sighted, like I said, they're able to put on their sleep shades and go and do what they ask their students to do. We only have one sighted instructor. She is a cane travel instructor. All of our other instructors, We have classes, we have compute. Yay! She teaches under Sleep Shade, so it's not her slap on her out the back door to go get, to meet a student downtown. She rides the bus, does whatever, just the same thing as our other travel instructor, who some of you may know, Marco Carranza. Does anybody know? Rosie Carranza? That's right. Marco's our cane travel instructor. All of our instructors have been through NFB training centers. We do have our trainer who is sighted has gone through our program. So to do that, she had to meet all of our graduation requirements. That includes she had to meet the requirements for computer, braille, independent living, home ec, and physical fitness. So she has a vision of what it takes to be able to travel independently, but most importantly, push our students out of comfort zone, because that is where the truth is. Push you outside of their comfort zone, because very often students are going to come to us and they're going to say, oh no, I'm doing that. That is a sighted person, not doing it as a blind person. And guess what we tell them? Oh yes you are, and we're going to go with you. The students have graduation requirements. One of the things that, well, I'll tell you about our curriculum. Students take braille, cane travel, independent living, computer, and physical fitness, and we also have adult education GED classes. Our classes are the same, our NFB training centers. They're in 2-hour blocks. The computer, it meets, for us, 6 hours a week. Because we don't have, we have physical fitness just 3 days a week. So, and those other 2 days, the students get an extra hour of computer and braille. But most importantly, our students get 4 hours a week minimum of seminar class. Who knows what seminar is? And why do we have it? It is. It is where we teach the philosophy of the National Federation of the Blind. In our training program, you do hear those four words, National Federation of the Blind. You hear about Dr. Jernigan, Dr. Maurer, Dr. Tenbrook, and our leadership. It is not something that we just kind of say under the table. We openly say it. We make sure that our students, well, first of all, we take them to national convention. They're right now, our students are all at the state convention in Maryland. So for Maryland who's listening, you should be at convention. I hope you're not at convention listening to New York. but it is very important, because the training and the skills are very important. But the real power comes to when our students are connected with the organized blind. Because when our students are in training, they have a built-in support group. That support group is there with them, but it's after they leave training that they need to become a part of a support group for other people, but that they also get that support, that advocacy, from the organized blind in their local community. Some of the things that our students look forward to. One is to be able to make independent travel decisions for themselves. Now that does not mean whose elbow am I going to ride on. It is, where am I going? What am I going to do when I get there? It's my choice, it's my decision, and I don't have to wait on anyone to do it. I can go with my friends, I can go to college, and I don't have to wait. One of the things that I have heard time and time again, and as a professional, I actually paid for my clients to receive this service. They would, in the past, before I found the light, before I found the NFB, we would pay for our consumers every semester to get orientation and mobility to their classes. So what would happen if the class schedule changed and it had to go to another building, instead of the Smith building, it had to be the Harvey building, what would we have to do?
Pop it up.
I wish I had known that. Mindy just said call the NFB. I wish I had known that. I didn't know. So we would send someone out to teach our client how to get to their next classroom. And our approach to training, our students don't have to have that. You learn one time to move on life, to do what you want to do, to problem solve, figure things out. You don't have to learn for somebody to take you where you need to go. If your class changes, have skills, but don't have the confidence to put those skills into practice. So our students look forward to traveling, of course, travel in Baltimore. We go to D.C. quite a bit. Seminar, national convention, students have travel assignments in the city that we go to. Will be some of our students travel assignments in Orlando. Student-led outings toward the end of a graduation. Before a student, we have a student-led outing, and the student designs that outing. They have to go somewhere they've never decide to go somewhere in their local community. The travel instructor makes them go somewhere that they do not know about. They plan the activity, and then all of the staff and student goes, the staff and other students go with them on this outing. I'll sleep shade, but the really cool part is the staff thing. We don't give the student any information on what needs to be done. It empowers our students. It gives them leadership skills. It helps them to manage people. It's been different ones, and they have always been great fun. Students also have a 5.2 mile walk, and that is in through the city, and they're on their feet, and they weave in and out through 4 miles. And then the final graduation route is to go to a city they've never been to before. And they cannot go to D.C. and they cannot go anywhere in Maryland or their home state. While they're in flight there, they have a budget that they have to work it with. While they are in flight, their travel instructor, or if they're on bus or train, their travel instructor will call and leave them to them with 3 addresses that they have to find. Now, these are not the names of stores that they're given, they're addresses. And our students cannot use a taxi. So you can't say, hey, take me to 1800 Wilson Avenue and then bring us something back. Because you can tell if they've cheated or not. So the travel instructor will give them 3 addresses. They have to use 3 modes of transportation, their feet being one of them. And then it has to be a bus, plane, train, something like that. So when students come back, you can imagine how they are ready to take on the world after they've completed that. In independent living, it is about confidence. It's about being able to figure things out. It is about being able to do things in your own home, but then when you go to Aunt Sally's for Thanksgiving and everybody's in the kitchen, you can hop in the kitchen and cook just like everybody else. Exactly. That's what everybody does. It's about what does everybody do? You know, whenever I go somewhere and people are cooking, I'm going to be in the kitchen cooking, if you're so inclined to be a cook, you know. I have one sister that we just want her to clean up. She's not the cooking team. She's the cleaning team. But all of our in our independent living class, this incorporates students living in the apartments. Students have their own apartment. They have roommates, not apartment mates. And they're responsible for maintaining their own apartment, cooking their own meals, doing their own grocery shopping, making their own doctor's appointments. We don't have anybody on staff that takes them to doctor's appointments and wherever they need to be. It is about giving our students the opportunity and the power to do those things for themselves. In the independent living class, students learn to cook everything from scratch. So that means they make pasta, breads, pie dough, cake, everything from scratch. There's no convenience foods. We also make healthy stuff too. There's stir fries, and they have to grill three types of meat on the charcoal grill. Cut up and fried chicken. Then there's the formal dinner for six. And the students have a budget. We have two graduation requirements that students have to achieve. There is the formal dinner for six, and then there is also the large buffet meal. The formal dinner for six is a formal dinner. The students prepare the meal. They have to work within a budget. They serve their guests. They have the meat, starch, vegetable, dessert, drink. They make all of that, they serve their guests, they clean up. Then their next graduation requirement is a buffet meal for 25. Students, again, have to make their, they have a budget they have to work within. They have to do their own grocery shopping. They have to serve them, they put the meal out. On this one, they actually get to eat the meal. And then clean up afterwards. So, why do we do this? You're right. Tough love. Confidence builder. You're exactly right. You do. You have to live in the world. And you've got to be able, it's very easy to say, oh, I can't do this because I'm blind. That is such an easy cop out. I'm sorry. Students are not allowed to pull the blind card. The blind card program, it does not. We do not have access. We cut in line. We don't get on the plane first because we want our students to know that they are equal. They're not citizens. We're going to be competing in the world. So if you're going to be competing, what does that mean? What does it mean? I'm sorry.
You have to be equal or superior
to those that you're competing against. To compete, you have to be to get that job. You better be above. That is everyone. So what is it going to take to do that? Is it skill? It's going to take work. But most importantly, if you put those skills, the skills are not good. You might as well take those, put them on a shelf. If you don't have the confidence to put them into, and the is all about Braille and computer, Braille, no, see, that's exactly right. You know, so we want our students reading, moving on through the code, learning, them reading. In everything we do, Braille is used. They'll use Braille in IL class. They'll use Braille in their computer class. So all of the class intertwine. Because there's computer class. That is, like we have heard today about what is computers, being able to action. It's being able to use our process system, so it's hard. It is internet, it's email, it's Excel spreadsheets. How do you develop spreadsheets? How do you use the formulas? Everything that you need to be able to access information. Okay. So, what are students doing? What are some of our students doing now? We have a student who has been accepted, received a scholarship to the International Institute for Social Entrepreneurship through the Braille Without Borders program. She'll be going to India in January. We have students who are going to be in college. They're pursuing college degrees. They're pursuing their life goals, not the one that we have put upon them, but what they want to do. Last, I want to talk about our youth program. Our youth program is an 8-week program. It is, this year it'll be called Independence 2011. It's going to be for blind students that are entering into the 10th, 11th, and 12th grades. We stay at the University of Towson. We stay in an apartment. All of our instructors, again, are blind. They are all Federationist. They are very strong in their philosophy. Those instructors teach during the day, and they also basically live with these kids 24/7. So they're in the apartments, and we teach classes, computer, braille, independent living, travel. We have seminar every day. We take the kids to youth. Hopefully, we're hoping to be able to take them to Youth Slam. We take them to National Convention, and this year we're also going to incorporate paid employment so the students will have some work experience. So I'm going to wrap up very quickly because I know I've probably run over my time, but I just wanted to let you know that this program is a program that is available to New Yorkers as well. The commission has paid for people to come to attend our program, and they're out there doing whatever they want to do. They're working. So if you know of anyone who is interested in our training program, please get in touch with me. I'm on the internet. We're on the web, bism.org. You can go to the rehab and find my information. Mindy knows how to get in touch with me. Let us know if we can be of any assistance. Thank you.
And thank you, Marilyn, for lending her.